Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Kayla Elise from... Where are you from, Kayla?
Inception Marketing.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. You're in, are you in sunny Brisbane as well?
I am. And yeah. It's beautiful today. It was a little bit cloudy this morning, but it's good now.
Yeah, it is. It's not as torrential and rainy as it has been, but
exactly.
We shouldn't really complain. We've got a nice place to live in the world. It's very, very pleasant. So for people who haven't met you, or don't know about what you do, before we get into things, would you like to give everyone just a little bit of a brief overview of who you are, brief history, and then we'll get into the rest of whatever comes?
Yeah, definitely. So on my background, I've always been in marketing. So I started my career in Perth, in the mining industry, where most people in Perth sort of start their careers. And then a couple of years into my career, I sort of wanted a bit of a change. So we ended up moving to my fiance at the time, my now husband, moved to Melbourne. And that was sort of the foundation for my career. I was very fortunate to sort of work with some great companies in the professional services space, and had my first taste of, you know, IT consulting and things like that. After 4.5 years in Melbourne, we ended up moving up to sunny Brisbane. Again, my husband's career brought us up here. So I, you know, followed along and haven't looked back since. So when we got up here, I was fortunate enough to land a role with a company called MOQ Digital, is now known as Brennan. I worked there for nearly 4 years and have since now started my own business called Inception Marketing. So basically what we do is we are an outsourced marketing management, or CMO as a service, for companies specifically in the tech and IT space. So what we do is we help them manage their marketing, get them sort of their marketing strategy right, their marketing plans, budgets, and then help them execute on that. Also help them leverage their relationships with their tech partners. So, you know, think bigger companies like Microsoft, Cisco, Nutanix.
Right.
They generally work together, and we help facilitate that management of that relationship.
And so why specifically? I mean, I feel like I'm getting like a little bit of a hint as to why specifically the IT and managed services, but can you just elaborate, I guess, on how and why is that the sort of more specific area that you're targeting? Is that from your expertise, or is it an interest point, or is it what is it?
Yeah, great question. So a bit of both to answer your question. So my background has mostly been in professional services and IT throughout my career. So
right.
I've been doing, you know, marketing, like I said, for 13 years, and the majority of that has been in the IT space. So it was a logical fit for me when I started my business to service that market. I had a really great network in that market already, and my mentors were, you know, in that space as well. So I sort of knew the landscape, and that sort of, yeah, it was a natural fit for the business.
It sounds like a really obvious question once you know the answer, right? It's like, but like I'm probably no different. I guess most people listening probably aren't too different either. Like, you tend to gravitate and like to one things that you know, even like, you know, there's always things generally in our industry and, well, I guess like a lot of business that are completely random that just sort of crop up anyway, but it's a safe bet to like to stick with what you know. Plus you're already obviously good at it too. But what with the, say, IT specifically, you were talking about then relationships, then with their bigger partners like the Microsofts and Ciscos. Challenges, or maybe not challenges, but what sort of things do you find as in your role that you sort of that they get the most value out of having you with those relationships? Like, what do you, is there any, I guess, like liaison sort of part between you, between them and say Cisco or Microsoft that you make easier? And if so, sort of how does that actually play out? Say if you were given like a little case study, so give us like a little sort of example.
Yeah. So a lot of my clients are generally at the point of growth in their businesses where they have, you know, they've had like a COO or even a CEO or something like that, sort of managing multiple balls, or, you know, having multiple plates in the air. And what usually happens is they reach the point of growth where they sort of need marketing support and they know they need marketing support, but they don't really know where to start, right? So obviously investing someone full time or a full time resource in their business is a big investment for a company, especially a sort of a more senior resource. So what I do is I sort of offer that, but at a, let's say a reduced hours. It's not, depending on the client, it's not reduced hours, yeah, but it's at a much more of a lower cost point than what it would cost them to invest into someone full time. Mm. And so what I can do is I go into their business, like I said, you know, in my opening statement, I get their marketing strategy right, I get a plan in place, we set a budget, and then I start the sort of the marketing engine for them and I get that rolling. And, you know, if we sort of reach the point of growth where they then feel more confident to bring someone into the business full time, you know, that's great. You know, that means that my job is done and I help them grow their business to the point where they feel confident to do that. Sometimes they bring in a more junior resource. So, you know, that's happened with a client of mine recently. They've had me as sort of their senior marketing resource, and they've managed to, because of the cost savings they've made with bringing in, with not hiring a full-time senior resource, they've managed to bring in a more junior resource so that they've got someone sort of boots on the ground, someone, you know, going to conferences and things like that, that allows them to really have that sort of more junior person on the ground, but then they've still got someone at a senior level overlooking everything and making sure that everything is running how it should be. So that's really the value that I bring to clients, and what they do. In regards to answering your question around the partnership, so I suppose because I've sort of been around that industry for a while now, I do have existing relationships within, like we call them vendors, so with those vendor partners. I generally understand the systems, right, and how things work. So a lot of those vendor partners generally have, you know, marketing development funds or sales development funds that are available to certain partners that they can utilize to try and generate more leads. I basically help them tap into that. So I help them get them to a level where they become eligible for those sales development funds or marketing development funds. Or if they already are at that level, then I help them sort of tap into that and get access to that, use the platforms. So a lot of the partners tend to have platforms that are available for, you know, my clients to use to be able to do their marketing, help them sort of make sure that they're utilizing all the resources that they've got available to them.
All right. To use, so when you say platforms, are you referring to, because I know, like, if it's the same thing that I'm thinking of, that larger organizations have a really great set of existing material that is branded, you know, with their stuff that the IT business is either like on selling, if it's like hardware or software, and that they provide a whole lot of material. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
It is. Oh, wow. Wow, I was right.
Yeah, so they have platforms that allow them to sort of brand it in, you know, the customers, in the client's branding and things like that. So I help them through all of that and get them access to that type of stuff.
Are they, often you find there's a lot of people who aren't actually aware that that even exists?
Yeah, definitely. So like I said, most of my clients, they've either reached the point of growth where they know they need some marketing support and they've had a CIO or a COO or someone like that sort of managing marketing. They didn't know that these things were available to them. So the other side of the coin is really I have customers who haven't had to do any marketing. So they've had, you know, long-term contracts or something in place. And, you know, those contracts have ended for one reason or another. And now they know they need to do some marketing to sort of fill the backlog. So, yeah, there's two sides of the coin and yeah, both are as relevant as each other.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was actually just having a earlier podcast with a guy who helps out with emails, and we're talking about like some similar sort of areas in terms of marketing and these sorts of things, like these types of issues that I'll discuss that I was talking about with him. They seem to crop up in a lot of different related conversations, like with us and with him, and even by business coaches and people. And those things are the kind of area or the nexus between where people are growing and or they're, you know, everyone's growing at some varying level, and they come to some realization where they've been doing X, they've been doing marketing of some form or another, just kind of generally because they know they have to, like all people, they got to do marketing in order to sort of expand your business. And they either engage an agency and things are going along fine, and or something happens, or they come to certain realizations about that things could be better, like to fine tune it. Like, you know, you take your car's still running, right? And it's fine, but it could be better. It could be like improved, or they want to make more profits, and they start to think about things differently. And that's like, I find that's a really interesting sort of topic overall, because it seems to be this nexus point where similar, like people say, like yourself, this other guy, Benny, me too, like in other different roles, and then even business coaches of different sorts, depending on what they're talking to clients about, there's a lot of similar conversations, but there doesn't always seem to be a strong connection between like suppliers. And that's why like working with people like yourself too, that I have in the past, and seems to be it's not a emerging part of the industry, it's been around for ages, but it does make a lot of sense to me. I noticed some people, they would be going, okay, so I've got a marketing agency, why do I need a marketing consultant? It seems like, you know, or somebody else to come in and go to tell like the marketing agency, you know, this or that. But I personally think that's not the right way to look at it. I'll get your thoughts on this too, but it's a really interesting topic, I think. And I know for some people it's confusing. So could you, I guess, kind of just lend your thoughts on that point as to really great reasons, or I guess like advantages as to why have a consultant, especially if they've already got like some agency. What's the advantage?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head, Sol. That's definitely one of my value adds, right? It is managing agencies for customers. So, you know, and obviously you would be very aware of this being on the agency side of the fence. One of my biggest sort of pitches is that, you know, my business is not a marketing agency, right? We don't offer web design. We don't offer, you know, major graphic design. We don't do anything like that, or Google Ads or any, you know, that agent, traditional sort of marketing agency stuff, right? We are purely an outsourced marketing manager or a CMO as a service. And the benefit of that is to customers is that, like I said before, customers generally have one person managing marketing, or, you know, often it's a senior person in their business. It gets to the point where that person is so busy and marketing gets, you know, pushed down the list of priorities. And what generally happens is that the agency is not guided properly. They're not sort of getting that return on investment for the client that was originally sort of discussed or promised. And that's sort of the key value add, right? Is that, you know, having someone like me or my business come into your business and help you manage those agencies, it resets that expectation for the agency. They're getting a clear brief from, you know, the client side of the fence, which means they're able to hit those goals and hit that return on investment. So my job is to make sure that you're getting that return on investment from your agency spend, and you're getting the return on investment from the spend that you're making with me. I've watched a number of different companies throughout my career go down that traditional digital marketing agency route or traditional marketing agency route and not see that return on investment. You know, they're spending thousands of dollars every month to, you know, promote their brand, but they're not seeing that return on investment. And often it's not the agency's fault. It's usually because they're not briefed properly, because the person who's managing marketing doesn't have the time to do it.
It's really true. It's 100%. I mean, I sort of brought that up too, because for us, I don't know, I can't speak for other agencies as to like who they work with, what they do, blah, blah, blah. But I've like working with people like yourself, like either in a sort of a business like yourself or a person, well, sometimes these other sort of interesting mergers where people are kind of a business coach and kind of do what you do, these sort of blended roles, which makes a lot of sense to me, not just because I've sort of read it in the book or seen a YouTube video, but because I've sort of seen it firsthand where I've been having a conversation with the client. And when you've got like a unified sort of message overall between different people, between someone like yourself or business coach or hybrid and then agency, it's actually really helpful. I mean, when it works well, like it's good. And it's always struck me, say, on the business coach side of things, which I've had dealt with, I guess, more someone has a business coach and we are sort of brought in to do whatever work that is it always strikes me as surprising that that doesn't happen more often, because it just is like a logical fit to me. Like it makes sense because, well, mainly because of what we touched on before, where one person saying things in column A, one person saying things in column B, the person who's either the in-house marketing person has been hired to do, you know, this scope. In reality, they've only got time to do this scope and there's no clear strategic scope for them, then it's not really surprising that there's, you know, things are going to crop up. So like that missing little, I guess, maybe almost like glue, you know, to sort of piece things together, it does like is seems like a very sensible thing to me. But do you find that there's like pushback occasionally from agencies and people who perceive it to be not that, they've got a different perspective on what that means for them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't encountered much pushback so far. A lot of my clients haven't had existing marketing agencies, or they've just finished up a contract with an existing marketing agency. And then I've sort of come on board. And so I would generally recommend, you know, my sort of suite of trusted marketing agencies to them if they needed some sort of specialized skill set. So, you know, like I mentioned before, web or Google or something like that. You know, if they've had a good experience with their previous agency as well, you know, they're generally happy to go back there. So I haven't had too much pushback. I think a lot of agencies are sort of seeing the value that like a marketing manager or a marketing consultant can bring for them as well. You know, they know that they're going to get a very clear brief. There's one point of contact for them. They like it because it's clear.
It does actually make our lives easier. I'm just like speaking from my perspective. Mm. It makes, I mean, anything that's going to make from a selfish point of view, that's going to make my life easier. Plus, yeah. Also more importantly, to deliver a good result that everyone's generally on the same page about to the client is great as far as I'm concerned. Like that's good.
Yeah. I think as well, if you've got someone in the business who is doing the legwork for you from an agency perspective, so, you know, if you've got a CEO and a CIO and a COO who all have sort of varying opinions, having someone, you know, in the middle before it gets to the agency side is valuable, right? Because we can really get that, you know, those key messages, that branding, like really solidified and all agreeing on it before it gets passed on onto the agency to do the work.
Yeah, because I think this is a bit of a sort of shot in the dark, but I think this is true, I reckon, which is that I think most people in business probably even, I hasten to say, myself included, you're probably like you're good at what you do, but it doesn't always necessarily mean because you're quite sort of insulated inside your own business and like thinking about your business and you try to put yourself in the shoes of other people, it doesn't always mean that you as a business owner, even if like you're really articulate and you're a great speaker and you're good at explaining stuff to your staff, doesn't always mean that you're going to be good at explaining a different type of thing related to marketing or strategy to somebody else. You might not, like we kind of touched on before, like you might not have or really know the right strategy. You might have a strategy or a series of things you've done, which I guess kind of amounts to a strategy, but it doesn't mean it's going to be the right one. And then, I mean, that's why everyone buys experts, right? You know,
exactly.
That's why we go out and, you know, or that's why I don't do my own plumbing because I'd be, you know, probably not very good and it's illegal. So I'm not going to do that. Oh yeah, I could probably work it out after many years of toil, but, I'm not going to do it. And so what types of, we talked about this like a little bit before about different things in a business between the different people involved, like owner, marketing manager that lead to, say, undesirable results or say miscommunication. But have you sort of come across any other particular patterns or things that you've sort of unveiled or sort of seen over time that are kind of common things that keep cropping up all the time that lead to stuff just sort of falling apart or not working very well?
Yeah. And look, we were sort of discussing this before we hit the record button, but you know, I think, a lot of companies that, you know, not just in the tech space, they really struggle to articulate what they want to be famous for. And, you know, the benefit of sort of doing that is picking sort of one or two things that you really want to be famous for. So the phrase that I always put out to my clients when we're workshopping this is, you know, when a customer thinks X, they think, you know, X, the name of the company that, you know, they are or I'm working with. You know, what is it that you want a customer to think when they hear your brand name? And it doesn't mean that you don't do other things. It doesn't mean that you don't do, you know, when people think, you know, Inception Marketing, that's my business. I want them to think CMO as a service or outsource marketing management. It doesn't mean that I don't do other things. It doesn't mean that I won't do, I'm trying to think of an example now because I actually don't really do that much more as much else. But, you know, it doesn't mean I don't do other things. But what I'm famous for is that outsource marketing management, right? So I really encourage my customers to think about that. And then we formulate sort of the marketing strategy, the marketing messages around that. Where I see it fall down is that customers try to be everything and they try to be famous for everything. And
that's a common, that's super common, isn't it? That's
it is.
That's like the, so true.
Yeah. But the you know, the quote is, if you try to be everything to everyone, you end up being nothing to no one. So getting really clear on what you want to be famous for as a business is essential to getting your marketing message right. And, you know, that has a flow-on effect, right? It has a flow-on effect to your sales team. It has a flow-on effect to your HR team. So that's sort of where that would be, I guess, probably hasn't answered your question, but is probably the biggest piece of advice I would say for business owners is get really clear on what you want to be famous for.
No, I think that does. Like it came around to a slightly different point, which once again is really interesting because these are common threads that keep popping up. And it's interesting for me doing the podcast because I'm having these sort of long form conversations and I find these similar things keep cropping up. And it's about, cause you say on your website about, exceptional marketing. And I know sort of on one level, like, you know how words have different meanings with the context you put it in and like how you say it. And at first glance, it was like exceptional. It's going to be great and good results, et cetera. But in the light of what we were just saying too, it means that, but it's also then got this different, sort of tint to it in being specific, like you're talking about in being more specific or I guess knowing what you want is going to ultimately like then, you know, in your case with inception lead to something more exceptional because you're being more specific because then it's almost like a numbers game, I reckon. Like it's like the likelihood of things being more exceptional seems to be way more likely not the less you do, but the more specific you are, which is kind of similar, but not exactly the same, right? It's like you go specific, you go, I want this and I want it done this way. And even if that's not exactly the right thing that you want, at least it's starting a conversation to eventually lead to that ultimate exceptional thing. Cause I think, you know, you can expand on this then too, but you know, I think there's that common, let's call it a misconception because that's easy to say. Common misconception about that you're going to do, like in old school marketing, you just put something up, people see it, and then they buy it. There's things, of course, very different these days, and there's a lot sort of different process you have to go through, and it's great because you can evaluate, and you've got the power to analyze data and all this. And the misconception, I think, in a lot of people's minds that it's still like it used to be, we do this and you get that. And I think some of that's still true. Like you do things on an impulse, blah, blah, blah. But like the behind the scenes part about like, say, your thinking, the right strategy for the brand and for messaging and all the things that go along with it are that sort of part that people, not surprisingly, miss because they're just like working on their business and they're going, I'm going to hire a marketing person to do it and they can think about it because I'm busy. And I mean, that's true. But people, so do you like, just to speak about that sort of topic, I guess, to expand upon the specific thing about how do you talk to, say, a business owner, say like a IT person who's got like a big team, and they're like, don't like thinking about marketing. And like, how do you extract out of them or what types of conversations and how long does it usually take for you to get like the right sort of information out of people who are especially non-interested in marketing, even though they know they have to do it? Like, how do you get that specific information out of them? What do you do?
Yeah, it's a great question because it is a little bit of a long process, right? I think the more people that are sort of brought into the process as well, the longer that it takes. So generally, you know, there's generally a sales team involved or a sales director or sales manager sort of involved in these conversations as well. And there's, you know, a CEO and a COO and, you know, lots of different sort of opinions that are brought into this. And so what I usually do is run workshops with my clients to try and help them articulate, get on the same page. We go through everything from sort of who they're going after. So, you know, you spoke about the specificity, is that a word?
Yeah.
Of, you know, the need to be specific. So that is sort of goes through every element of their business, right? Or every element of their marketing. So, you know, we spoke about the what and what they want to be famous for and being specific there, but it's also important that we're specific around, you know, the who do we want to go after? Because that is a set group of people. You know, the why do we want to go after them, and what benefits does the product that they or the service that they offer bring to those people? So getting really specific around that. One of the great areas that I love workshopping with customers is the why should a customer buy from us. Is, you know, there's generally a lot of different opinions around that. So getting everyone in the same room or on one Teams call is generally, or Teams, Zoom, whatever. Is generally the way I like to run it, right? People are able to freely sort of give their own opinions. We are generally workshopping and discussing and things like that. And it allows everyone, you know, to get their view across. And then that is essentially my job, is to go away and sort of collate that and bring that together and come to them sort of with a first draft of a, you know, this is what we want to be famous for. This is who we're going after. This is what I think we should be doing campaign wise for the year. And these are the tactics that I think we should use and what our customers are going to what our customers are going to resonate with. So that's generally how I go about that. It's very rare that I've, you know, come across a team that can't agree on something. So generally there's a reason, right? There's a reason that they have engaged a marketing consultant to come in.
Yeah.
And that's because, you know, either sales are dropping or they need to backfill pipeline or they haven't got enough pipeline for, you know, the next, you know, four quarters or whatever the sort of the case is. So they're generally all motivated and pulling in the same direction to achieve that outcome. It's just the steps before that, you know, need the work.
That's a very positive outlook. And I'm sure that's actually probably, I'd probably agree with that too, because I think it's very easy for people to, like, well, not just in our industry, you know, in marketing, digital, creative, brand, but like people in general to be, you know, to be like, oh, there's people that didn't agree, et cetera, et cetera. But like, I think the fact is that for people to come to any sort of consensus, like, it's completely unrealistic to assume that there's, given that everybody has very differing opinions, even if like they're generally, like you were saying, they're on kind of the same page, people always have different opinions. And you have to go through that process of working, of sort of consolidation, like you were saying, like you collate information, bring it back. Cause I feel like showing something that everyone talked about freely and openly with no coercion whatsoever in an open forum. And then you show it back to people in a way like a mirror and go, this is what everyone said. It's a really interesting process because often people will go, oh, yeah, right, I did say that. And that can sometimes have the effect of actually making them reflect on whether that was right or not. And I mean, it's really powerful because it's like hearing, it's probably the reason why I still find it weird to hear my own voice on a podcast. Like, it's okay talking now. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, and then hearing it back, I'm like, oh, this isn't, doesn't feel like me. It feels like it's odd, but I think that's just the same thing that people experience when they do something and then it's shown back to them. It's often really positive, even if they don't like it at first, because it makes people think and go down a different pathway. And that's what that workshop process you were talking about. And I mean, whilst everyone knows, yeah, workshops and this and that, but I think that's quite a skill, that's a real skill set in itself, right? Like to hold a workshop, get information, collate it in such a way that when you take it back, given that this is going to form a basis of future thoughts and a strategy, et cetera, who to consider, who's more important than other people. But this is like just a little bit of a left field question, but have you ever been like, have your services ever been sort of utilized to, or at least the perception of it to sort of enforce, you know, someone's stronger view in a company, like that you've essentially, there's been a particular view and there's been conflict about, it doesn't have to be like a big, huge problematic thing, but then they want an expert to come in and go and to reinforce their views, like to actually assert something?
Yeah, there's definitely been situations where there's been a dominant player in the room, and it's very common for that to happen, I think. Mm. And generally,
it's
you're
pretty
right.
It's pretty natural, I reckon. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Pretty normal.
And generally want someone to come in and basically have that confirmation bias where they want, you know, their opinions confirmed. You know, that's where I think, you know, we've got to be really objective and sort of, you know, think about what the actual goal is that we're trying to achieve. And one of my favorite questions when working with, you know, my previous teams and, you know, now in my own business is, what is the goal here that we're actually trying to achieve? So, you know, and that generally comes back to the reason why they brought someone like me into the business. You know, it's like, you know, we need to generate more leads or fill pipeline or something like that. And it's does that strong opinion that certain individual holds relate to that goal that we're trying to achieve? And sometimes yes. You know, probably I reckon 70% of the time, yes, you know, they're very focused on, you know, achieving that goal, and their opinion is so strong because they're so driven to achieve that goal.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not, and sometimes it's about them and their own agenda. So, you know, we have to really play a balancing act here and, you know, have an objective view as marketing team or marketing consultant to, you know, make sure that what does that opinion and does that view help them achieve that goal? So yeah, to answer your question, yeah, definitely. It's, I'd say it's uncommon not to have stronger views in the room. So it's just about balancing those out. And, you know, sometimes I have been sort of hired to, you know, a COO or a CEO has hired me to basically drive their vision forward. So, and you know, help bring the team along for the journey. So sometimes this decision's sort of already been made and they're just looking for someone to execute on that. But most of the time I try to run some workshops to really help them discover, you know, is that reality? And if it's not, how do we sort of use what they have said to form a new reality?
Isn't it interesting? It always comes back, despite any philosophical, any technical, any whatever conversations that everyone has, it always still just comes back to those sort of human nature and the dynamics between people, like in a room or, you know, the people, there's this kind of push and pull, which I find really interesting. Like that's at the end of the day, there's things can just come down to one person or very small, of then say in the case of you being injected into a situation where there's you know, say it's a business and they've got an in-house marketing person, and the sort of value and difference that the individual or then you and your team can make. I always find that really interesting because it just comes down to these human relationships and people, and ultimately kind of just communication, because it's actually just lack of poor communication, better communication, like any communication, you know, it's not, I'm sure probably most IT people who are generally all like awesome people, probably, I hate to throw around cliches, but I will do it, you know, because many cliches are true. There's like a lot of like engineers or IT people, but they've got a different way of thinking about things. And they are often, they think about sort of like objects and things, you know, and not, it doesn't mean they're not like nice, warm people, but it's just in their work life, they got a different focus. And that doesn't always lend itself to, some of these other things we're talking about, right? And that's where then say, that's why it's interesting now at this point in the podcast and saying at the start, how did you get, you know, into working with IT people? Yeah, with IT people in this sort of industry makes even more sense, because then if you're, it sounds like you are, like more of a bridge between, like you might not be that sort of person, but you've got more of an understanding of that group of people. Like in some ways, like I feel just through exposure and being somewhere between a designer and a developer myself, I get that a lot of like developers, especially, just not really into other humans. Like they're just not, they're just really not. Like they're just into like stuff. And it's not casting any aspersions on them. That's just how they're made. And they like stuff and they're not great at communicating certain things. They're awesome at communicating other things, or in a particular way, but then that's where, you know, a barrier comes up. Other people are going to be more or less patient with that too. And so having this bridge, which is like, say, you, who's got, I get you, and I'm sort of the bridge between them.
Definitely. That's one of my key jobs.
Superpower.
Yeah, exactly. That's my superpower. Is a lot of, you know, the tech industry and the IT industry it's a lot of technical speak. And, you know, when we think about who buys, you know, tech and who buys IT services, we're talking like COOs, CEOs, CIOs, CISOs, who are not generally talking in a really deeply technical language. So it's my job to really elevate that for customers or for my clients, really elevate their key messages to a language that their target market can understand. So that is, being that bridge. And then obviously as well, taking what the client wants. And we talk about, you know, the agency management service, taking what the client wants and understanding that very clearly and translating it to the agency or the creative to make sure that that goal is being achieved. I do call myself the translator sometimes.
Sounds like you got your work cut out for you.
I'm busy.
I do very much relate to that though. Like I very strongly relate to that, because that's especially with the developer side of things, because you can say, and it is still surprising to me even to this day, that you can be speaking English to one person and they don't seem to be able to understand you. That sounds like haha funny, but it's true. Like it's true, because the input from one person is hearing something else, or their interpretation or their filter for what that means for any number of reasons. And that's where like that human sort of mediation, call it translation skill, is like, you know, I think maybe we've gotten to more, even like more of the heart of why that sort of consultancy role that you have is even more important. Like it's sort of, we got, you know, there, we kind of, you know, that part of it, I feel is like, it's not more or less important, but it's like a really crucial part, I reckon, you know, that sort of being able to just like navigate that, like all that stuff. And so I was, for people who don't, this is just like some terms that, hang on. But you talk about MDF and SDF. If somebody listening to the podcast, you were to mention that, many people won't know what that actually means. Could you just elaborate a little bit for them?
The MDF and the SDF is what I was talking about before. So it's the marketing development funds, and the SDF is their sales development funds. So generally a primary vendor or a key vendor that, you know, my clients would work with have that available for the clients to use, provided, you know, they're at a certain level in their partnership, or there's generally some, you know, gates that they need to move through. Mm-hmm. So I basically help them, like I said, get access to that, help them spend that, put the plans together that helps them sort of lock that in, because generally a lot of the partners will want to see a plan on how that might be spent. Just help them sort of get use of that and take advantage of that, because, sometimes people don't know that they're entitled to that type of stuff. So, yeah, that's that. And that's essentially what I help them with.
Yeah, I was just going to actually say is that am I right in assuming there'd be lots of people who don't even – that's why I sort of brought it up, because I've been aware of that. But, you know, even sometimes people who have been around for a long time, they've just never had any need or haven't stumbled across it for whatever reason, even though they've been around for – ages. But I mean, that even on its own score, like outside of all the other, you know, interesting things that you would help somebody out with, I mean, that is super valuable, like on its own,
definitely,
even knowing that exists.
Yeah, exactly. And partners sort of, like I said, are willing to give it if, you know, the client or, you know, their partner, so my client, has gone through the various gates and met the criteria, they're generally pretty happy to give it. Or if a partner sort of has a really good idea about a campaign, then, you know, they're generally happy to sort of co-fund it, particularly if that campaign is going to result in sales for them. So, it's about sort of making sure you can get access to that that benefit, being a partner, but also like helping them come up with the ways to spend it and to, you know, put a really creative plan in place that potentially can help them unlock that as well. So it's multifaceted, that one.
Is it also to assist like the partners themselves actually be more confident in the fact that that's going to be spent well?
Exactly. Like generally the client will see the plan before it's submitted to their partner. So they'll generally, you know, approve it, or they'll like the idea or something like that. I'll generally put something together for them so that they see it. So it's not just like completely done without them seeing it. I would never do that. Generally as well, like the management of that campaign and how it's running, and making sure that, because these partners have criteria, right? So if you need, they'll need to upload leads and things like that, and, you know, do campaign reporting and how, you know, things performed. That is all sort of taken care of as well. So they don't need to worry. We completely meet the needs of each of the different partners that they're working with to make sure that, you know, everything that they need is done.
Is there, this is a little bit sort of on off topic, but it just sort of occurred to me. And maybe this is just pure coincidence and I'm just like randomly shooting in the breeze, but I'll ask it anyway, is there some sort of like word relationship between your choice of calling it inception marketing and the whole exceptional marketing thing?
When you were talking about my exceptional sort of tagline before, I was like, how long does he think I spent pining over that word? Yeah, so the words are sort of they don't rhyme, but they sound similar. So yeah. I did sort of do that on purpose. And the exceptional part of it is like what I mentioned before is that a lot of companies sort of haven't ever experienced what exceptional marketing looks like, and that is absolutely the purpose of Inception, is to give them that exceptional experience and see that their marketing is working and returning an investment for them.
Yeah, it just kind of occurred to me too that which I don't ever like, there's that general interpretation of what exceptional means, which is probably kind of obvious to everyone, but it just occurred to me too that, you know, exceptional, you know, being the exception to something else is sort of implying to stand out, like in your own way. And that ties into what you were saying before about like, you know, being famous and being specific, because they seem different, like in different contexts, but they kind of all have this, this sort of single point of contact in being, in wanting to be exceptional, you're being the exception to something else, so to stand out, but not just for the hell of it, but because the result of being specific, I was trying to get my thoughts straight, because the idea of being specific leads to that's going to be perhaps the natural result of, yeah, being specific, it'll just occur of its own accord in some form if you keep at it consistently. What do you reckon about that?
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. And so sort of to build on that point, like if you stay in your lane and you are, you know, whether that's you want to be sort of targeting a specific audience or targeting using a specific product, I really believe that if you can stay in your lane, you are going to be the exceptional supplier or exceptional managed service provider or whatever it is that your business is in that industry or for that product. So as long as you sort of don't deviate, you know, your messaging and things like that outside of your lane, then you know, that is where I think you build up that brand credibility. And obviously, as you're delivering great products and great service, you build up that credibility, which gets you to the exceptional level as a business.
It sounds really simple, doesn't it? But I think there's real, you know, it's like if you were, how different is it to if you were at a barbecue and you said to somebody you just met, they're like, oh, what do you get up to, mate? You'd be like, oh, I'm a fighter pilot, I'm a plumber, and on the side, I do this and this and this. They'd be like, that's a bit like sort of over exaggerating it, but that idea where it becomes at a certain tipping point, it's sort of the belief of that being likely, you know, has a negative effect on credibility and then like trust, which, you know, when you intellectually break it down about, you know, consistency and this equaling trust, it's all to some people sounds like intellectual sort of woo-woo, but it's not really, like it's just simple, you know, people
it's
observing
psychology.
What is likely. Yeah, is that likely to be the case? No. And even if there's a little bit of disbelief, then that's automatically going to erode trust. It's like, you know, exactly. It just is. Though people are right, as if that's going to be the case, you know, or even if it's a slight thought, it's not good, right?
Exactly. But, and like I was saying before, it doesn't mean that, you know, if you're a plumber, it doesn't mean you're not a fighter pilot on the side, but it's sort of not what you're famous for, right?
No. Yeah, true, true. But then there's also just, you know, whether things are like actually true or not, there's all sorts of crazy stuff that's true, but it's also it's almost not even that. It's just the fact that if people are willing to like share that in one sentence, it's whether it's actually true or not. It might be true. You might be like the ultimate like Renaissance man or woman that is like, is all those things, you know, and you're, you know, smarter than Elon Musk. Like it might be all those things, but like the fact that you're saying it in one sentence just to people just like sounds ridiculous, even if it is true. So, I mean, which is interesting because then that comes back to messaging too, doesn't it? It's like, exactly. What do you choose to include and not include, even if it is true? Like true or not true almost doesn't, I mean, I shouldn't say it doesn't come into it, but in your choice of what you're trying to do, maybe it does. Like, and that's
exactly. It's really important about what you include in that sentence, in that elevator pitch, as we call it.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you were saying at the barbecue, you know, it's the same thing. The elevator pitch is sort of what you would give at the barbecue, right? You wouldn't include all of those things. So, you know, I work with customers who do cybersecurity, you know, Office 365. They do it all, right? But they don't use that as their elevator pitch. That they just talk about how they do cybersecurity. I'm just giving an example here, but they just talk about what they do around cybersecurity. And that is what they're famous for. Doesn't mean they don't do, you know, Microsoft 365 once the customer comes through the door, but what is going to get the customer through the door and, essentially, you know, get them a sale and which then they can, you know, expand on from there. We call it land and expand.
Yeah. Yeah. It just takes too long too. It just takes too long to say more stuff.
Exactly.
It's just like at the end of the day, like all of the other stuff we're saying is true. And it's also true that it just takes too long and it might just be way too boring. It's like just way too boring to listen to. And by that, and people, you don't have to have a short attention span to be bored by something that takes too long. You know, especially if you're like, I'm listening to, but, so we've covered like a fair bit of ground there, Kayla. Have you got something or any other sort of points specific that you'd like to, I guess express to everyone listening that you feel that we haven't talked about what you do or just the general, maybe advantages of the consultancy role? Because I think some of the stuff we've talked about is kind of really important potentially for businesses to think about.
Yeah. So I think we've covered a lot of it, but I guess I'll just summarize in a couple of key points. So I think number one for businesses is figure out what you want to be famous for and stick to it. Craft your key messaging around that. And that is your elevator pitch. And like I said, I'll say it again, it doesn't mean you don't do the other things that your business does, but it's not what you're going to be famous for. The second thing I would say is, you know, bringing in a marketing consultant obviously has, you know, a host of benefits. And so like we spoke about, having someone managing your agency relationships, if you've got them already, is obviously great. It means that, you know, that message is going to be translated correctly, which is going to improve the likelihood of you getting the results that you want from that agency. Having someone managing your partnership relationships as well is also, you know, another key benefit, as well as having that objective opinion. So having someone come in with an objective opinion about what you need to do to get your brand visibility and your lead generation up is also, you know, I think a key benefit of having a marketing consultant or a senior marketing resource on your side. And generally marketing consultants or, you know, particularly my business, it's generally a lot cheaper to bring someone like me into your business. And, you know, especially if you're at the beginning of that marketing journey. And, you know, than it is to hire someone in-house as an in-house resource. So There's a few things there I think that the audience can take away. I hope that sort of wraps it up and that helps.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's very succinct. It sounds like you've done it before, Carla.
I've given the sales pitch a couple of times.
Yeah, no, that was really good. Very, very specific and very concise. And like we talked about before, have you been mulling over in your mind some really great quote or like something else that you'd like to say? Have you come up with something?
Yeah, so this quote came straight to my head. It's actually probably my favorite quote of all time when you mentioned that we're doing the quote thing. So my favorite quote is, you don't have the right to the hand you think you should have been dealt, but you do have the right to play the hell out of the hand you have been dealt.
Yeah, nice. That's a good one. Mm. Who said that? Do you know who's?
No idea.
That's a beauty. I don't remember that one. Yeah, that's good. I like that one a lot.
So how do you make the best out of a perfect, out of an imperfect situation is really my life motto.
Yeah, that's a nice. I really like that. That's great. And and thanks so much for being on the podcast. It was really great. I think it was hopefully people listening, business owners, because people are always sort of trying to often improve themselves and learn new things. So if they haven't considered, like, say, using a service like yours, having that extra ear, an extra sort of brain on board, I'd probably suggest to people to, you know, spend like their disbelief or thoughts about what that means, because I think people do, you know, need to, well, they don't have to, but I think it's useful. I think it's really helpful, actually. And with that in mind, everyone, thanks, Carla, once again. Thanks everyone, for listening. And we'll see you again soon. And say goodbye to everybody, Carla.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business podcast.